This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's been a year since federal and state investigations were launched into the West Virginia State Police. Now, the superintendent of the department is providing some updates.
There was numerous internal investigations opened up. There was federal investigations opened up, working with the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Today marks the deadline for Governor Jim Justice to sign bills into law from the 2024 regular session. Jack Walker reports on why many bills remain unsigned.
This year, the West Virginia legislature passed 279 bills, but more than half of them still await approval from Governor Jim Justice. After Wednesday, any remaining bills will automatically become law. At a press briefing Tuesday, Justice accredited the delay to a lengthy and tumultuous legislative session.
It takes time for our folks to get through all these bills and everything. You know, that's all there is to it. So it's a process.
Justice also said he would sign a bill requiring more transparency from pharmacy benefit managers, but he declined to comment on a more controversial bill that would create new vaccine exemptions for youth. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
University students from across the state will get the chance to study abroad with a federal scholarship. Chris Schultz has more.
Eight students from three West Virginia universities will receive the Benjamin A. Gilman International Scholarship to study abroad in 2024. A student from Marshall University, six students from West Virginia University, and a student from Shepherd University were among the 1,700 recipients of the National Scholarship. Available to undergraduates who receive federal Pell Grant funding, the Gilman Scholarship enables students of limited financial means to study or intern abroad with up to $5,000 to apply towards their study abroad or internship program costs. The Gilman program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs and is supported in its implementation by the Institute of International Education. The students will use the money to study in countries such as Argentina, Germany, Zambia, and South Korea. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
Governor Jim Justice has vetoed a bill that would have expanded the size of renewable electricity facilities in the state. Curtis Tate has more.
Justice on Tuesday vetoed House Bill 5528. The bill would have let power companies build individual solar or wind projects up to 100 megawatts. Current law allows for projects of 50 megawatts, but it also includes a sunset provision that ends the window for such projects early next year. HB 5528 would have lifted the provision. The veto comes as utilities are expanding renewable power, especially solar. Monpower's Fort Martin solar facility in Monongalia County became operational in January. It produces 19 megawatts. Monpower is building two other solar projects and seeking approval for two more. Last week, the U.S. Department of Energy announced funding up to $129 million to construct a solar facility on two former coal mines in Nicholas County. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
A total solar eclipse will cross North America on Monday, April 8th. West Virginia will not be in the path of totality where the moon will completely obscure the sun, but opportunities are still available to observe this celestial event. West Virginia University will host a community solar eclipse viewing event, offering an opportunity for people of all ages to experience the rare partial eclipse alongside astronomers. Community members are invited to join WVU faculty, staff, and students on the Mountain Layer Green at the downtown Morgantown campus. Planned activities include astronomy demonstrations, eclipse viewing through solar-filtered equipped telescopes, and children's coloring. Eclipse glasses will be provided while supplies last. This is a free event and it's open to the public. No registration is required. A county commissioner has joined a chorus of healthcare professionals asking Governor Jim Justice to veto a bill that would eliminate vaccine requirements for certain students in West Virginia. Emily Rice has more.
Kanawha County Commissioner Kent Carper announced in a press release Tuesday he supports a veto of House Bill 5105. Carper's release joins that of Dr. Stephen Eschenauer, the Kanawha Charleston health officer, who published a statement on March 11th asking justice to veto the bill. House Bill 5105 would allow virtual public school students to be exempt from vaccination policies and for private and parochial schools to institute their own policies, either exempting students or not. As the law stands, all students in West Virginia have to receive vaccines for diseases like polio and measles unless they're homeschooled or medically exempt. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Variable cloudiness today. Scattered rain in the east. High temperatures in the 50s and low 60s. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a chance of rain in the east. Lows in the 30s and 40s. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Highs in the 40s and 50s. Support for WVPB is provided by Dutch Miller Subaru in Charleston. Dutch Miller Automotive is proud to be dedicated to multiple community service initiatives and local charities. More about our team and the Subaru Love Promise at DutchMillerSubaru.com. It's been a year since allegations of illicit recordings of cadets and other women at the West Virginia State Police Barracks launched federal and state investigations into the law enforcement department. In the aftermath, Colonel J.C. Chambers was named superintendent of the state police. He spoke with reporter Chris Schultz to provide some updates on the investigations, as well as to discuss reforms he has implemented during his tenure.
Can you tell me a little bit about your tenure so far? We're approaching the one-year mark.
It's been a long year, I would have to tell you that. It's been a very trying year, but it's also been a very successful year, I feel. We have great people in this organization, whether that be troopers you see running up and down the road every day answering calls or our civilian staff. We have a great mixture of civilians and sworn members in the West Virginia State Police, which is one of the reasons, and my love for the state police, to come back as asked by the governor's office as superintendent.
We've been talking about this timeline of a year. You know, I want to be clear, we're talking about the allegations of recordings in the women's barracks, potentially of underage, of minors, as well as some allegations and accusation of sexual misconduct and abuse. As I understand it, you know, this has been under investigation now for almost an entire year. Can you tell me a little bit about why these investigations are ongoing and have not been concluded yet?
There was numerous internal investigations opened up as quick as we could once we figured out what direction we needed to go in. There was federal investigations opened up, working with the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI. One of those are still pending. I can't comment on that one, but the other ones, I have a Department of Justice letter that I'll read to you stating that no longer considers the West Virginia State Police or any of its members to be a target. Like I say, several members' names that were out or that come up in investigations are no longer with the state police. We're moving forward the best we can. We've changed everything from training hours at the academy to accountability as hours of hours. We put a $450,000 security system, camera system in at the state police academy just for checks and balances. We're working hand in hand with a lot of other state agencies now. Our purchasing and our purchasing accountability agreements have changed drastically. We work with everybody trying to improve, make our agency better, and make sure we don't have anything like this happen in the future. I've got a letter here dated from Will Thompson. He's the U.S. Attorney of the Southern District. And it basically reads like this. This letter is to inform you that consistent with Justice Manual 911-155, the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District no longer considers former trooper Mike Miller to be a target of an ongoing civil rights investigation in the Southern District of West Virginia. Additionally, the United States Attorney's Office, Southern District, no longer considers the West Virginia State Police or any of its members to be targets in an ongoing investigation in the Southern District of West Virginia involving a camera being placed in the West Virginia State Police locker room, a claim of religious persecution at the West Virginia State Police Academy, and the misuse of the West Virginia State Police fleet, which is our cars and our vehicles and things like that. It says, please be advised that this letter does not preclude the United States Attorney's Office from reinstituting an investigation into the allegations detailed above and any identifying any member as a target should circumstances change.
What possible action needs to be taken to ensure that these investigations are concluded in a timely manner? It sounds like you're waiting for external factors, if I understand you.
You're right on point here, Chris. And also that we're looking into stuff as well, and we'll look into stuff even after they conclude what their findings are, whether they decide to move forward with something or not. And if it's something administrative, then we'll handle it from that point on. I know a year is not a long time. I mean, it seems like 5 years, to be honest with you, but we have completed a lot of this stuff within a year. You know, stuff that we can control and get done. I feel that we've done it as aggressive and as fast as we can. I think it's changing. I think it is. Our people are working. They're out. They know they have the support from headquarters, and doing this job day to day when you're out in the field, you want to feel you are supported when you're out here dealing with what we have to deal with daily.
I would like to hear more about the changes that you've implemented.
Culture is what members understand as an acceptable behavior. Culture is what the community perceives as acceptable. We in the state police feel we have support in West Virginia. They don't want to see things like this happening. As far as changing culture, putting in a camera system, making the changes we have at the academy, we've been around 104 years, Chris, and to sit here and tell you we haven't had to make changes through that 104 years, we'd be lying to you. But to change a culture overnight, it's been around 104 years, you want to try to change things as positive as you can in a progressive, positive way. And I think that's what we're trying to do, all the way down to our people reporting to the academy. I've been asking in the past, well, how are females going to do when they come to the academy now as a cadet or a basic officer? Well, a couple of things we've done. We put a full-time female officer supervisor at the academy. They're engaged with her. She knows she's doing a great job over there. The deputy superintendent meets with any female coming on that property up there when they report. They're midstream, they're talked to, and at the end of their training, they're asked questions to make sure that they felt comfortable there, and we have expectations for them. But they also have an outlet if they need to talk to someone or need to speak with someone. We've implemented things like that now it's just a normal procedure or protocol that we do.
That was Colonel J.C. Chambers, Superintendent of the West Virginia State Police, speaking with reporter Chris Schultz about investigations and reforms in the state police. You can read a longer version of this interview at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Randy Yowie. Chris Schultz produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.